Well, good morning. I'm changing things up a little bit here, just a tiny bit, because today we are talking about friendships. And doesn't this look like a good setup for two friends to have a coffee together at the Bean Cafe, just around the corner? And today we're talking about deeper friendships, and we're just continuing. Actually, I'm finishing off the sermon series that we started about a few weeks ago. If you remember, we started talking about relationships, and who doesn't like relationships? Everybody does, right? Now, it is the favorite season for the teenagers because they really like to talk about relationships. Usually, we take the month of February, just like we do on Sundays, to talk about friendships, love, dating, and all the fun stuff like that. But today is a special Sunday because we're talking about friends. Now, some people might have significant others, some people might not, and that's okay. It doesn't make you a good or a bad person if you have someone or if you don't. But everybody is supposed to have friends, right? So today kind of applies to everyone. We're all supposed to have friends and build friendships, and we're supposed to do this life together with someone. Now, if you don't have friends, there's something wrong with you. We have to pray for you. You have to come up to second service. We have a prayer time. We really want to pray for you specifically for that, because friends are really important. And usually what I say to my teenagers is, the youth is, I always tell them, you know, the most amazing thing you'll do in life when you're young is choose your friends. And if you choose right, you will be on a good path. If you choose wrong, the future doesn't look good. So it's really important. Relationships are really important. Friendships are really life-changing. And someone once said this, "Show me your friends and I will show you your future." I don't know who said it, but there's a whole lot of truth in there. And my tagline for today is this: friends that you choose today will determine the future you will experience tomorrow. Friends that you choose today will determine the future you'll experience tomorrow. So how about this? Just turn to your neighbor. It might be a little weird, but if you have a neighbor beside you, just turn to him and just tell him this. Are you ready for this? Just tell him this. I think I can see your future. Just turn and just tell him that. Tell him. Now, you might think that they're prophesying and they know something about you that you don't know yet. And then say this: show me your friends and I'll show you your future. That's good. Just to kind of get you guys going a little bit, because it's important to have fun in church, isn't it? She's got it. You know, to teenagers, I say, show me your cell phone. Show me your cell phone. Give me an Instagram account. I want to see who you're following. I want to see who you're talking to. Give me the last 5 friends on Facebook that you talked to, and I'll tell you where you're going to be tomorrow. And usually, that's what happens, is you talk to people all the time, and you text people, and usually the 5 or 10 people that you've texted last are the people that you talk to the most, right? That's usually the case, unless you're a youth pastor and you keep getting bombed by messages of whoever has your number. But usually that's the case. The people that we build, we have their cell phones and we have their contacts, and we talk to them online or email, or actually email is kind of old school now. But, you know, email and Instagram and all that fun stuff. Now, I can remember when I was growing up, I grew up in a church which was really good. But there was a part of me that kind of wanted to explore the world, and actually I was in a school. It was a public school. We didn't have Christian schools back home, so I used to hang out with a lot of, I don't even know how I ended up with them, but they were just kids that were not doing good things. Very first time I stole, I did steal. Yes, I did. It was when I was influenced with my friends. They were stealing. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna play good, but then I just kind of got into it because they never got caught. So And just to tell you the truth, is I actually did get caught that time when I tried to steal. So it was not good. We got caught, you know, they got called the parents. They didn't involve the police, which was good. But, you know, the first time I tried to smoke, I did try to smoke. It is what it is. was a time when my friends were just always smoking and they're just blowing at me and just like, yeah, try it. And I'm like, no, I'm not this, you know. Anyways, and I tried it and it was disgusting. So the first time I smoked, the first time I stole, the first time I lied, like a big lie to a teacher was when my friends were, we were doing something stupid and they're like, yeah, just, you know, we're not going to tell the teacher, of course. And they asked us and we just lied. Of course we lied, we're kids. So many bad decisions I've made as a kid, as a child growing up, and even nowadays, are the things that I've done were mostly influenced by my friends, bad friends. And maybe you can recall and look at your own life and say, you know what, there's some stupid things that I've done in my life, and it was probably because I was hanging out with some people that were not that smart, didn't have too much of a common sense. And the problem that we have in today's society is we have a lot of young people growing up and they don't have common sense. They don't even know what common sense is. They don't have feelings. They don't interact with people face to face. They interact with cell phones. So it's a whole other ball game for young people growing up in this crazy society. But there's still ways to get to people, you know. And usually my way of getting to people is saying, hey, there's a question that we always ask. Some of you might relate. Hey, you want to go grab a coffee? You want to go have a coffee together? And usually friendships, deeper friendships, are created over a cup of coffee. Now, I did have a coffee this morning, and it was really delicious. And when I want to build friendships with my friends, I usually say, hey, let's go grab a coffee. Now, I don't grab a coffee with everyone. I only grab a coffee with people that I have time for. Now, not to put anybody on the spot, you can't possibly have time for everyone because you're busy, you have family, you got life going. So some people say, I'm too busy, I don't have friends, I'm just too busy with career, I just don't have time for friends. Now, those kind of people, they don't want to have friends. They could have friends, but they don't want to have friends. And it's really hard to live this life without friends, don't you think? It's probably one of the hardest things to do. Now, looking at the Bible, and how Jesus did it was very similar to what we do nowadays. Now, Jesus was God. I'm pretty sure he didn't really need to connect with people. He didn't really need to get choose the disciples in order to accomplish great things. He was God, after all. But he did choose disciples and people to live his life with. There's so many good things in this. I'm going to read a scripture in Luke 6, just to kind of get your imagination going. This is what Jesus says. Actually, I'm going to read before the event of him choosing the disciples. I'm just going to read one verse that's really crucial that will kind of give us some idea of why we need friends. And so just to kind of give you an overview, Jesus heals someone on Sabbath. Now, you can't do anything on Sabbath. That was a big law if you do something. Now, Jesus goes ahead. He heals a guy. And these people come. They come against him. And they were just, this is what the Bible says. I just put the scriptures up there. 6:10. He looked around at them one by one. And then he said to the man, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand. And it was restored completely, his hand. And at this time, verse 11, the enemies of Jesus were wild with rage. They were wild with rage and began to discuss what to do with him. They were so angry at Jesus that they just wanted to get Jesus, do something bad to him. And then he goes to the next section of the Bible, which is verse 12, where Jesus chooses the 12 disciples. And this is what Jesus says. This is what the Bible says. One day, soon afterward, just after this whole, you know, they're attacking Jesus. Jesus went up to the mountain to pray. And he prayed to God all night. So there's all these people against him. I'm sure Jesus was distressed emotionally. People were going at him and everybody was against him because he just broke one of the biggest laws with the Jewish nation. And then it says he goes to pray all night, and then at the daybreak, do we have these verses? He called together all of his disciples. Now, there was a lot of people that were following Jesus at that time. But he called together all the disciples, and he chose 12 out of the bunch of them. You see the events? They attacked Jesus. Jesus was probably under a lot of stress. He went to pray for the whole night. So he prayed to God, probably to give him wisdom in choosing his friends, choosing who he wants to spend his life with and do ministry with. And then he went ahead and he chose. And then the next verse says, here are the names: Simon, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Matthew, and all, and on and on and on and on. 12 of them. So if Jesus, who was God, needed friends to live this life, who are you to think that you don't need anyone in your life to make it? There's another thing that Jesus said in the Bible, and this is what he said. Do to others whatever you'd like them to do to you. The golden rule, remember? This is the essence of all that is taught in the Law and Prophets. Now, when people ask me, well, I have a hard time. I really have a hard time making friends. That's okay, because I used to be there too. And I'm sure some people are really awkward socially, and they don't know how to make friends. Some people are just bubbly and they just make friends with everyone. But when people ask me, even some of the young people, how do I make friends, good friends? And I always tell them, well, you need to do to them what you want them to do to you first. Right? Now, what do you like to do? I like massages. I'm joking. That's inappropriate. I like coffees. I like free coffees. I like when people buy me coffee. Now, some of you that have had coffee with me, you know that I always pay for your coffee, right? Because I just that's who I am. Sometimes I got to fight with somebody to pay for my to not pay for my bill, but I usually cover the cost. I love when somebody I love going out on dates with my wife and somebody just gives us like a gift card to go to movies. I love that stuff, free movies and popcorn. I also love somebody once bought us an overnight in Niagara Falls. I love going just for a night with my wife, and that was a free treat and it was wonderful. And those people are my friends now. So, you know, what do you like? What do you like? What do you long for? So it's like, you got to just start there. And maybe if you want to make friends with someone that's normal, which is what we all want, don't we? We all want normal friends and good people in our life. You know, you've got to look, what are the things that those people like, right? And then you've got to go out of your way sometimes and spend some money and, you know, and we're going to go through a few things here, but you need to do for them what you want them to do for you. And that's how you may create good relationships. Now, someone once said that we're all created to love and to be loved, right? So that's what the essence of relationships is, of life is. And the essence of the whole Bible is this: love God and love your neighbor. So if you just start there, that's where everything lands. Who's your neighbor? Your friends. So that's your life. That's what our life should be about. Now, why do we need friends? Some people say, I don't need friends. We all need friends. We need friendships. Number one thing is, especially if you're a Christian, we need friends for spiritual growth. If you want to grow spiritually, Pastor Ken just mentioned this a few weeks ago, you need to plant yourself in a good church, which is right here. And you need to basically make friends in a church, because that's how you will grow spiritually. You see, we often get caught in thinking that we can do life ourselves. We don't want anybody knowing anything. We can, you know, we'll survive. Whatever happens, you know, we'll manage to get through it. But you cannot fulfill God's purposes in your life alone. You just can't. Jesus couldn't do it. You can't do it. One interesting thing about Jesus is, I always draw this analogy, is Jesus chose 12, but he only really had time for 3 of them. And if you read the Bible, and you're in the Bible, and you kind of see what Jesus was, he was James, Peter, and John that Jesus was always hanging out with. He was always pulling them in to do stuff. He couldn't really even spend time with all 12 of them. But they were there helping, managing. There was a stage director. There was a, you know, when he had crusades, when he had healing service, there was people. Disciples were the ones that were helping out. Jesus couldn't have done it by himself, right? So you can only really be friends with few people. I tell people, you know, only your car can fit your best friends. If you can, you have to get a bigger car. No, you don't. But your deepest, your closest friends, the ones that you share life with, you can fit in your car. So spiritual growth. Number two, social enjoyment. Some people just love social life. You need to enjoy life. This life is to have fun. You know, some people are too boring sometimes, and they think that, you know, I don't want to have friends. I'm going to sit at home and watch Netflix and do nothing. And I just want to rest. I just had a long day, and I just don't have time for anyone. You know, we need to enjoy this life. Even Adam himself was lonely. I mean, he didn't have Netflix. If he had Netflix, he probably would be okay. Adam was alone, and he had animals. They were fun, but not even animals could meet his needs. So, you know, God said it's not good for him to be alone. I see him struggling. He doesn't know his way. I need to create him a friend. So he created a woman. So Adam enjoyed. All of a sudden, Adam started booming with. He was happy and enjoying life. He had kids and family and lived for 900 years. But it's like he needed someone, you know, to do this life with. Number three, for better health and emotional support. You know, lots of people that are healthy emotionally are people that have friends. Did you notice that? People that are struggling emotionally and even health-wise and just going through this life are people that don't have that support. You know, we live in a world, Let's Talk, Bell. You guys know what that is, mental health, and we live in a world where there's a lot of people struggling with depression and anxiety and stuff. And I really believe that the core issue is not having enough good friends. I really believe that. People not sharing their heart with each other. You know, in James, he says this, confess each other your sins and so that you may be healed. You know, this is where the healing process takes place. When we have friends to confess what we're going through, what we're struggling with, and that's where we really receive a healing. You can't be carrying the burden by yourself, and lots of people do that, and that's why they end up suicides and all the stuff that we're dealing with nowadays. It's crazy. But that's what happens is people don't share their problems and their burdens, and they're not healthy emotionally or physically. Once you start going down the drain with emotionally, it affects your physical health in every single possible way. So it's not healthy. You need friends to be healthy in this life. And four is to reach your goal in life, to reach your purpose, to accomplish your purpose for what God has put you on this earth for, your calling and your purpose and your goals. You know, there's not one thing that's ever been done on this planet alone. Even if you watch sports and love sports, I always say I love tennis. But sometimes, even those single people that play singles, you know, they're just alone on a court doing their thing. Or if they're a group thing, if it's a basketball, it needs to be a team game. If it's not a team game, it's not going to be a win, right? And even those, as I was going to say, even those tennis players, they're alone on the court, but they have the team of people. They have a whole army of people behind them, supporting them. They got a coach. They got a supporting coach. They got a physician that's massaging them in between the points. Like, they wouldn't be where they are. They wouldn't be the champions if they didn't have these people in their life, right? So if you want to get anywhere in life, you need to have good friends. Now, the time is going by quick, but I got 15 minutes to share. 6 golden rules of friendships. Are you ready for this? I really hope this is going to help you and it's going to grow you. And it's going to get you to where you're supposed to be. So, number one, you need to invest the time. And I've mentioned this before, I'm going to say again. Time is love. Love is time. You can't say, I love you without showing up. You can't say, I want to have a coffee with you, but you don't show up. It's happened to me a few times. You know, you just have to show up. You have to say, you know what, I want to be a friend. I want to be your friend. I think this person is normal. I want to be their friend. I'm going to invest my time. The relationships don't just happen accidentally, you know, you just living this life. Oh, hi, you know. No, let's have a coffee. Let's talk. Let's chat. Let's go deeper. So you need to invest the time. That's the number one thing you need to do. Time is required. You need to put the time in. Proverbs 18:24. Proverbs is one of my favorite books in the Bible. If you read through the Proverbs, you will know everything about friendships and who to hang out with and who not to hang out with and all the fun stuff. Proverbs is got all, that's what we're going to be using mostly today. But Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. If you want to have friends, you need to be friendly. Okay? If you're not friendly, you won't have good friends. And Philippians 2:4. Don't be interested in only in your own life, but be interested in the lives of others. You see, you need to take a genuine interest in someone's life if you want to be their friend. Okay? You know, how many people get together and they just, all they talk about is just themselves? Nobody wants to be their friend. And we do sometimes show up to a party or an event and we put the nice clothes on and perfume or whatever. And it's all about us. We don't care about anybody else and what other people think and what people say. It's just about us. But that's not what life is about. Life is about us taking a genuine interest in other people and really caring about other people and their needs and what they're going through and talking to them about that. Lots of people think because we're in this world of social media, lots of people think that Facebook friends are their friends. But Facebook friends are not your friends. So you don't have to be like pouring out your heart on Facebook to people that don't even know you. Sometimes I read the statuses and I'm thinking to myself, oh, Jesus, help them. Because they'll not get anywhere with this, posting it online for the whole world to see. You just have to understand that if you want a healing, you need to share with someone in person. We have pastors in church, we have prayer, we have people, genuinely everybody in this church that will take genuine interest to actually hear you out if you want to share something. So take a genuine interest in other people. Number two, second golden rule of friendship, you need to earn their trust. And everything nowadays is about trust, but trust is something that you build over time. You can't expect for people to trust you right away on the first coffee date. Okay? That's why I love relationships that are built over time. You know, some people, my young people come to me and say, you know what? We just met. We're getting married. There's something wrong there. Because you need time to get to know the person, to earn their trust, to know that they're normal. And they're not going to. But how do you build trust? There's three ways that I believe. Is you need to prove yourself to be reliable. There's a verse that I want to share. Proverbs 2:6. Many people claim to be a friend, but it's rare to find someone that is truly trustworthy. It's really rare to find someone that's truly trustworthy. And a friend loves you sometimes. A friend loves you all the time, the Bible says. Proverbs 17:17. So you need to be reliable. You know, people... there's so many unreliable people nowadays, like if you're in a business world, if you're in a church. You know, in order for me to lead worship, in order for us, the team, to lead worship for you, I need to trust the people that will show up. If the drummer doesn't show up, they're not reliable. If the someone in the back there that's doing the media and sound, if they don't show up, we can't serve you the way we're supposed to serve. So you need to prove to be reliable. Because that's the key to gaining the trust. You need to prove to be loyal. Now, loyalty is so rare nowadays. But loyalty is built over time as well. And it's something that doesn't come automatically. You know, this is a whole other message, but just came to my mind. Because I think it's really important for me to share this. But people can build trust and loyalty for years, literally years. And I know some people and I know situations, people have built it for 10, 15 years, trust, loyalty, being reliable. And then just one thing will happen and that trust will break. You know why? You know what would be the thing that will break it? Gossip. Gossip can break a trust that's been built for years. And I want to, I'm here, we in the church, we have to speak the truth only in love. And I'm here to tell you that gossip is one of the biggest sins that you can commit in your life. Now, what's gossip? This is a whole other message. Pastor Kenneth can share about this. But gossip is when you talk about someone behind their back, negative or positive. That's gossip. Oh, I just said positive things. Well, somebody interpreted, somebody had a different interpretation. Wow. But I didn't mean that. Well, you said it. You know, some people don't have friends because they gossip too much. They talk too much about other people behind their back. And I can tell you for sure, if people are talking to your face about somebody else, they are talking about you to somebody else as well. So you don't, if somebody comes to you and just starts talking about a person, just complaining, just run away, as John said. You need to just stop it. That's what we as Christians are supposed to do. Some people don't know. Some people are used to it. They grew up with it. In family, everybody gossips. So the gossip girl. That's how the show came about. Everybody gossips. Everybody talks about each other. And it's just the whole gossip. And then they start with a small story and it ends up being, you know, huge. But that's how the churches are split. That's how relationship was broken. It's all about the gossip. Gossip is the worst. And as a matter of fact, if you read in Proverbs, that's why I love Proverbs so much. One of the seven things that God hates is gossip. That God hates gossip. So I know you have a need to share to someone about someone, but don't. Share something positive about that person. And maybe say, you know what, I need prayer. I have something against someone and they did this to me. And that's okay. People hurt people all the time. But we are supposed to be a church of healing and love and trust, not a church of gossip. We are the ones that should come out and fix the people that gossip, because people that don't have good friends nowadays are people that gossip. And if you want to have good friends, you need to quit gossiping today. You say, you know what, I'm done. I'm not gonna gossip, I'm not gonna talk about anyone else anymore. And that's the first step to building trust with people. And then so how do you entrust? You're reliable, you're loyal, and you keep secrets, you keep confidence. And some people, you know, they say something to someone and then it ends up, the whole Kitchener will know about it. You don't want that. If you want to earn trust, you need to, there's actually a Proverb 11:13, it says, a true friend will keep a secret. Now, there's a line, of course, some secrets that you just, you know, but how many relationships, how many organizations have been split up over people gossiping and just sharing and just going about life like they don't, not caring about people genuinely. You know, we need to really be a church that will build trust and loyalty with people in the church especially. And they will prove to the world that it's possible not to gossip. It is possible to have true friends. Number three, listen with empathy. Is the third rule of friendship is you need to listen with empathy. James 1:19, it says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. There's so many people that get angry so quick over nothing. But there's the formula of how to get rid of anger right here in this verse. You need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. You don't have to say much, just listen. Now, I know that a lot of husbands and men don't understand what listening means. And I'm still trying to understand it. And I don't know if we play this video, but I just have to play this video for you guys, because it really illustrates in an amazing way what it really is, so what listening is. So can we just play the video?
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless. And I don't know if it's gonna stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever gonna stop.
Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like... There's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on. Ow. If you would just...
Don't!
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking?
So that's what listening is. Just affirming that problem. It took me, it's still about 8 years of marriage to actually figure this out. And I'm still trying to figure out. Just listen and affirm and say, yes, I understand. You don't have to try to fix anything. That's what friends are for. We need to understand that friendships are... we men, we have a tendency to fix everything right away, but sometimes you don't need to fix stuff. You just need to listen, and this is what it comes down to: is listening to the emotions instead of the words. You know, you'll hear the words coming out of someone's mouth, but men don't understand what emotions are. Number one, so we just hear the words. We don't really hear the emotions. So it actually. Understanding what that person feels, putting yourself, the empathy is putting yourself into their shoes and saying, you know what, I know what you feel. This is what you feel. It's not about the words. It's not about the nail. It's not about the problem. It's about understanding the problem and affirming it and not trying to solve it. That's what listening is. Now, that's really hard. For me, I find one of the hardest things is to listen and just hear people's emotions and where they're coming from. You know, it's always just, we always try to focus on the surface and the words only, and we think that's what everything is about, but it's not. You gotta, you know, people that know how to read in between the lines are the people that have a lot of friends and are mature enough to understand what's going on. So that's number three. Number four is accept their flaws. Accepting each other just as God has accepted you, then God will be glorified. Romans 15:7. Now, there's some things that really bug us about even our friends and even our spouses and whoever we live our life with. They really bug us. But we need to be the people of God that will overlook those things and focus on the good things that those people have. Because everybody has good things. Everybody has good characteristics, right? I have some good characteristics too. My wife does. And I know... all of you in this room have. So we need to make sure that we focus on the good things and just look past the flaws, because that's what Jesus did for us. Amen? That's what Jesus did. He looked past our sin and our weakness and our inability to just live this life, and he still forgave us and he still loved us. So it's so important, just while I'm at this point, that... your friends that you choose, it's a choice, it's your choice. The friends that you choose, you have friends around you that also share the same values. And this is something that I keep emphasizing to the youth. But you need to make sure that they're on your team. They're playing with you, for you. That if you want a better relationship, or if you want to, let's say you're married and you have a good marriage, you need to make sure that your friends are... people that have good values in marriage and that appreciate marriage, and they're not people that have gone through hurts and don't understand where you're at and will not, you know, you need to surround yourself with people that will help you be on the same page, have the same values, and help you move forward and accomplish whatever you need to accomplish in life. Okay? Number five, you need to, fifth golden rule is to celebrate the wins and share the losses. You know, true friends share the wins. They don't get jealous over other people succeeding and getting ahead in life. And that's what true friends, do. And they also, if there's losses, if there's things that we go through, and we all go through a loss, there's something that we will, if you haven't gone yet, you will. That's just life. But that's why we need people around us to help us, to lift us up, to encourage us, to share and celebrate with us things that we're going through in life. And number six is friends bring out your best. That's what friends do. That's what friends are supposed to do. And they look for the good things in your life to encourage you, to push you forward, and to really get you where you're supposed to be. And this is what the verse says. Just as iron sharpens iron, friends sharpen the minds of each other. Proverbs 27:17. And an honest answer is a sign of true friendship. Proverbs 24:26. So friends that you choose today will determine the future you will experience tomorrow. Amen. And let's be the church that will really choose right. And they will go out of our way and ask people that we see as someone whose potential. Some people are in relationships they're not supposed to be in. Some people are friends with people they're not supposed to be friends with. And that's what we need to stop. What we need to do is just sit down and just look at our life and say, you know what, who are the people in my life that are helping me bring the best out of me, who are supporting me, who are pushing me, who are encouraging me, and who are the people that are not doing all these things? Who are the people that are actually pulling me away from God? You know, when I talk to some of the youth, I tell them, you can't expect anything good to happen if you're still friends with the guy that's doing drugs and doing who knows what. You're going to end up becoming like them. Unfortunately, always the turn of events is always going to the bad side instead of a good side. Same thing with choosing who you're going to live your life with. You can't choose people that don't have the same values. Now, I've seen a lot of relationships break up and a lot of marriages that a person thought that, you know, they could evangelize someone and they thought the marriage is going to work and it's going to be a mission field for them to become Christian, but unfortunately it never happened. You got to make sure that whoever you want to spend your life with, those people should share the same values, same goals. They love God, and that way you'll be good and you'll be better off. Amen. So look at your own life and stay away from bad friends, bad influence, because this is what Corinthians says. Bad people, bad company corrupts good character. Corinthians 15:33, one of my favorite verses. If bad company corrupts good character, that means the good company builds character. Amen. So if you want your character built, that's the only thing we have and the only thing we'll have before God is our character and who we are as people. If you want to build your character, you need to get rid of all the bad influences and all the bad friends. And you need to say, you know what, these people, I'm going to keep them on the line. There's going to be a limit, but I'm going to focus on building my life with someone that will help me become a better person. And that will help me get where I'm supposed to be and it will help me get close to God like never before. So where do you find good friends? Of course, not in a bar. And not who knows where, in church. That's where you find good friends. That's what the church is for. This is what the church is about. It's about relationships. So it's just two simple ways to leave you with so that give you some direction. If you wanna build good friendships in the church, you might be coming for a while and you don't really know anyone. You need to either plug yourself in a ministry, which is the best way to get to know people. Like the worship team, we're so tight, we know almost everything about each other, and we share things and we pray for each other, and you know, we are the team and we stand behind. We sometimes we meet and we talk and share our hearts. You know, the ministry is the people that you do ministry with is where you connect the best. Even the people in the back, they're becoming the best friends because they're always in the back serving and leading. You know, or we're going to be having small groups really soon as well in April. And that's the best way to make friends, to plug yourself in a small group and just share your life with people in the church. Amen? So that's what life is about. Let's just all stand, and I want to just pray for you. And I want to encourage you that from today you'll take some of these things and apply them in your life. And I want to encourage you that there's a verse in the Bible, and we always keep repeating it, is that God's plans and hopes are good for you, and his future for you is great and amazing. God has the best plan for your life. But in order for you to accomplish the best that God has for you, you need to choose wisely. You need to choose the people you'll spend your life with, because that's what it's about. God will get you there, but you need to navigate your life to that point with choosing the best relationships around you. So I just want to pray for you. Just everybody close your eyes, and I just want to pray for you. Father God, every single person in this room, I just speak a blessing. And I speak, Father God, an encouragement, Jesus. And there's some of us here that are sitting and we don't really have any deeper or meaningful relationships in our life. Father God, I just speak against that, and I pray, Father God, that you would give us all good friends in this family, in this church family, God. That you would help us to just focus on you. That you would help us to just choose good relationships. Choose good friends, God, so that we may accomplish great things that you have in store for us, Jesus. Father, we know that your plans are good for us, and we know that you have the best things in store for us. So help us to focus on you first, on loving you first with all of our hearts, and then help us to focus on loving our neighbors just like we love ourselves. And Jesus, may your name be glorified in our lives. May we be the church that will set an example of what it means to be a true friend with you and everybody else. In Jesus' holy name I pray and ask, amen.